Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, it's thus and so. According to our faith, it's being done unto us. Amen. Amen. Well, did you bring your Bible this morning? Hold it up if you brought it. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of God's Word. My mind is alert. My body is awake. My spirit is hungry and receptive. I'll never be the same after what I hear this morning. Never, never, never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. So glad everybody's here. God has something for us in the Word this morning. If you brought your Bible, go with me to the book of Matthew again. We're going to continue where we've been talking about the Lord's compassion and mercy. We see it in the Bible that the word translated in the King James, compassion and mercy, are actually the same Greek word. So that's why we use them interchangeably. But the Bible tells us in chapter number 9, did I tell you which chapter? Matthew chapter number 9. When Jesus saw the multitude in verse number 36, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray." Circle the word pray. Amen. Verse number 36 talks about he was moved with compassion. And here's what he was moved with compassion to do, to pray. To pray particularly about these laborers, you know, that were needed so that they wouldn't be scattered and like a sheep without a shepherd and fainting. But he said, "Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest," that's God, "that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Amen. Amen. Well, then you can see that Jesus was touched with the infirmities that these individuals had because of a lack of knowledge of the truth that makes them free. You know, the Bible tells us you'll know the truth and truth will make him free. And that's what these laborers were going to do. They were going to take the truth to them so they get renewed in their mind and the devil couldn't chase them as a predator anymore. Amen. Their lives wouldn't be scattered. Their brains wouldn't be scattered. Their children wouldn't be scattered. Their marriages wouldn't be scattered. Their finances wouldn't be scattered. Their health wouldn't be scattered. Their sanity wouldn't be scattered. I was just thanking God last night in a time of prayer. I was thanking him during a season of tests and trials a number of years ago. I could have lost my sanity during that time. But thank you, Father, for the greater one in me and the Word that kept me and sustained me. And amen. So, but that's the heart of Jesus. He is compassionate, and we saw that many times in our study. We've been studying this for 5 or 6 weeks now. Well, four or five weeks at least. And we see he's moved with compassion to heal the sick, moved with compassion and taught them. That's actually kind of similar to what he's talking about here. They needed a shepherd or a pastor to teach them. Moved with compassion to deliver that madman of Gadara. We see that over and over again, moved with compassion and fed the 5,000, fed the 4,000. And it mentions all these occasions that it was compassion that moved him to do that. People say that he was doing these things to prove he was the Son of God. Well, I mean, if you look at his own teachings, that wasn't necessarily always the case. It was mostly because he just loves people. Doesn't like to see them struggle, doesn't like to see them hurting. Remember that verse in Mark 3, I believe it talks about where in the Taylor translation, he was grieved. Remember the King James said he's grieved for their hardness of heart. The Taylor translation, for their indifference to human needs. He was touched with human needs. Now, you realize that we have to open the door for him to do something. Because although he's touched, it's obvious he's just not going around and, you know, because he sees a human need, just meeting the need, but he longs to. That there's certain things that we have to do to cooperate with him. One would be faith to receive it, but sometimes that's not the case. People are in positions where they're not in faith per se. They don't know the Word of God. And but he still longs to do it. And if he can find somebody to ask him and somebody to pray, he'll move on them. And that compassion he has for them, he'll put that on somebody's heart and have them pray out what he longs to do. And then he has a legal right to do it. Because we're in authority down here. And so we need to understand some of these things. We're going to get into this a little bit more today. It's kind of turning into a series on prayer. But we're not talking about, per se, the prayer of faith, although faith can be mixed with the mercy of God. We had a service, we talked just about mixing faith with the mercy of God. I don't know if you're aware of it, but this has changed. This series is changing our congregation. It's doing something. I know it's changing your pastor. Amen. I wasn't quite perfect. I'm getting there. I'm almost there. That was funny. You can laugh. But anyway, these things, I believe, need to be understood. One of the things that, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 1. In the King James, first of all, it says, 1 Corinthians 14, number 1, verse number 1. Let me turn here. I quote the other translation so often, can't even hardly quote it in the King James. But the 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians, verse number 1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. The Phillips translation? I got so many things written down up here. That says, follow then the way of love while you set your heart on the gifts of the Spirit. That's a key. In other words, he's telling us a doorway into the move of the Spirit. Now, I said a huge thing right there. This is not just a word church. This is a word and a spirit church, which we're hungry for the word. We're hungry for the moving of the Holy Spirit. The Lord said to me 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, just a little shy of 2 years ago, I sensed I had a sense of having completed something, and I thought, I'm like, Lord, am I done pastoring? What's going on here? And I was praying about it, and the Lord said to me, to a general extent, you know, there's always a need for new ones coming in, but that the word of faith has gotten into this congregation. And it's not that we'll ever stop preaching faith, but the Bible said to just live by faith. I'm going to live that way for the rest of my life. You're going to live that way for the rest of your life. So we need to constantly hear about it. So that's not what I mean, but the Lord spoke to me and said in a general sense, you've gotten the word concerning faith and the authority of the believer into this congregation. You know, this city has never had that message in this city. I know what I'm talking about. I know the history of this city. Never has there been a church raised up like this one in Cedar Rapids. Hallelujah. You know, this church was prophesied back in, I think it was 1981. It was prophesied by one of the leaders in the charismatic revival. Amen. He prophesied a church that would be raised up. And if you look at the description of the church, you'd go like, that's us. Yeah. It's just like Jesus. He read in the Bible, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He's anointed me. He asked the Father, who's that? And the Father said, that's you. But there was a prophecy back in 81, and it talked about a church that is well grounded in the Word. There, it talked about one of the things that I love about the prophecy. It talks about our unity. Amen. Our unity. Amen. Hallelujah. But anyway, that's gotten more established in the city than ever before. But the Lord spoke to me in January. I believe it was December, maybe, or January of 2 years ago. He said, what you've sensed is a completion, that you've gotten that message out. And now he said, I want you to begin to train them in the congregation in the things of the Spirit, in the move of the Holy Spirit, and in developing faith for the move of the Holy Spirit. It's really what he said. Hallelujah. Because we're a word and spirit church. So this verse, 1 Corinthians 14, 1, gives us it shows us one of the doorways into a greater move of the Spirit. Amen. It is just letting the love of God guide you on how to help and minister to people. Yeah. Follow then the way of love while you set your heart on the gifts of the Spirit. In other words, the motive for the gifts of the Spirit are not so, did you see how I moved in the Holy Ghost? There's wrong reasons people want to move with the Spirit sometimes. And the Bible said the right reason, one of several, is because the love of God in you, you want to see people helped. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. And sometimes this compassion will well up within you, which is an element of the love of God. Compassion is an ingredient of the love of God. It'll well up within you, and you'll just long for something to happen for somebody. And sometimes the way that you follow it will be in prayer. Sometimes it'll be maybe go lay hands on them. Amen. I'm just talking to somebody about one of the meetings we were at that a lady came up in a wheelchair. And there was the power of God was, it went, Pastor Debbie and I laid hands on, the power of God was there to go into her, and there was already some things that started manifesting instantly right there in the wheelchair. She didn't get up out of the wheelchair, but the power started manifesting, and some things started. Amen. By the family's own testimony. They said they had never seen her do this, you know. But anyway, while we were ministering, there was somebody from this congregation that was there, and they started yielding to that. There was compassion started welling up in them, and they sat in the congregation and just yielded to that compassion. They were making a supply to the ministry of what was happening to that lady in that wheelchair. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I think we preachers are going to stand before Jesus. Okay, thank you for all my rewards. And the reward, he'll say, the reward for your ministry goes to praying grandma here. Because she prayed all that out. Amen. Hallelujah. Or praying mom or praying daughter or all of us. So we see then that there's a doorway. What we're learning then as a result of this scripture is that as a result of yielding to and responding to the flow of the Spirit, let me say it this way, as a result of yielding to and responding to the compassion of God that wells up in you to pray, or sometimes other things. How many of you know compassion will move you to give? God shouldn't need a crowbar anymore in our lives to get us to move with compassion. It should just be, here. Amen. Give. Father, help them. Pray. You know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Encourage. God shouldn't need a crowbar anymore. Compassion is one of the launching pads into the Spirit. You yield to compassion, the anointing will come on you to help them in ways you have no ability in the natural to help them. Amen. It's a launching pad out of the natural into the spirit realm. You know, we human beings are a little bit, now this might sound funny, but I'm going to explain it, a little bit like the space shuttle. The space shuttle is designed to function in the Earth's atmosphere, or in gravity, you might say. And it's also designed to function in outer space, where there's weightlessness out there. There's just a little bit of gravity, but not enough, you know, and so forth and so on. And there's no oxygen. Well, the atmosphere of the Earth is very thin, or just no oxygen up there. And can't live outside of the space shuttle. But the space shuttle is designed to operate in both realms. And you, as a human being, as a born-again child of God filled with the Holy Ghost, you're actually, you're designed to operate in the natural realm and should be able to operate well and sanely there. But you're also designed to operate in the Spirit. Just because we're spiritual people doesn't make us insane. Yeah. Tell your neighbor you're normal. Not weird, but there is a realm of the Spirit. Amen. I said there's a realm of the Spirit that we need to become very accustomed to and learn how to move over there in that realm, just like the space shuttle. It has those wings, so whenever it comes gliding back in, you know, it can land as a glider. But up there in space, those wings don't mean anything. Same with you. You have, there's a realm of the Spirit that natural things and natural abilities, you know, like the space shuttle, it's very limited in the natural realm. It can't even fly in this natural atmosphere. It's basically a glider. It's very limited. But it's designed really for mostly out there. I mean, it's got a cavity where the people can breathe the oxygen, and it's all, and they've got heat. I mean, well, you know, they need heat up there because so. But anyway, there's We in our natural man are very limited to how much we can help hurting humanity. Amen. But we do want to help people, don't we? So we're going to have to learn to follow compassion, that we're to move with the Holy Ghost in compassion, where the anointing comes on us and enables us to do things that we cannot do in our natural ability. And I'm going to give you some illustrations how this has worked in my life this morning. Amen. If you are hungry for it, tell your neighbor, we're going to hear about some of this morning. And so we're going to have to learn to operate in the Spirit, come out of the natural and over into the supernatural. Amen. How many of you know the love of God shed abroad in every one of our hearts? By the Holy Ghost, the Bible said. And it's a supernatural love. It's the love of God. Amen. And sometimes it'll well up within us for somebody concerning a situation in somebody's life. And our job is to learn how to interpret, how do I flow with this? Is he telling me to give them something? Is he telling me to pray? Is he telling me to encourage them? What is the, because the Bible always said Jesus was moved with compassion and he either healed the sick or fed the 5,000 or prayed or something. He wasn't just moved upon and did nothing. He was moved and he responded to that by doing something. Are you still out there? Hallelujah. And whenever you respond to compassion coming up out of your belly, it will launch you as a launching pad out of the flesh and into the spirit realm, enabling you to do things that you could not do in your flesh. Amen. When the Spirit, whenever you respond to that, like for example in prayer, which we're going to talk more about this morning, when you respond to that, the Spirit takes hold together with you against that infirmity and brings the power of God on the scene, amen, that enables something supernatural to happen for them, which otherwise would not have happened. Let me give you an illustration, not in my life in this case, but another. Brother Hagin told this story about a pastor and his wife that came to some of his meetings. Now, they were denominational pastors, but they had begun to get into the charismatic revival in those days and began to get into the move of the Spirit. But they were new to it, didn't understand a lot of things yet. But the reason they got into it is because the pastor's wife, denominational pastor's wife, had been healed of I don't remember the disease, I don't think he said, but a terminal disease. The doctor, medical science had given up on her. And so, but she somehow had gotten in some meetings and was completely healed by the power of God. And then they started realizing, well, there's more that we didn't know about here in the Bible. And they went ahead and came on over into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues. But they were new to it. And in this beginning stages of them learning about some of these things, there was a young lady in the congregation, was a part of the congregation, attended regularly, had a couple of children, and married and had a couple of children. But in the process of them beginning filled, this pastor's getting filled with the Holy Ghost, this young lady discovered she needed an open heart surgery. She wasn't that old. I think maybe in her 30s or something. But she discovered she needed an open heart surgery. Well, they scheduled the surgery, and she was willing for surgery, except on the operating table, her heart stopped. And they tried to resuscitate her. It took a long time, and I don't know what happened, but basically her brain had been with, I don't know why they didn't have things hooked up, but somehow or another, the brain didn't get enough oxygen for too long. They actually ended up getting her resuscitated, but she never regained consciousness. So here is a mother of several children, few children, laying in the hospital unconscious. I don't know if it was in a coma, or I guess that's all what that was, a coma or something. But she's laying there, and the doctor said because of how long her brain was without oxygen, even if she did regain consciousness, she would be not right. She would, I don't know if it was a vegetable or what it was, something. She just wouldn't be right. She wouldn't be able to be a mom to her children or, you know, function for any in any way. But so, anyway... So the pastors, they're new to all these things of the Spirit, and they started encouraging this husband as best they knew how, but they didn't know enough yet to really know how to really encourage him. And so they're praying with him the best they knew how. But a few days, this lady in the hospital, she just kept on hanging on. She just didn't die. She just kept on hanging on. And day after day, she just hung on and you know, was unconscious, but she didn't die. You know, they told she could die any minute, you know. Well, after a few days of that, the pastor woke up one morning, the pastor of the church, this lady's pastor, woke up one morning and said, he woke up and he realized his wife wasn't in bed. And you know how it is. You're just like, where is she? And so he got up to find out where she was, and he heard groanings coming out of the living room. And so he went in there, and he thought, oh, my goodness, my wife got up in the middle of the night to do something and fell, and she's hurting and in pain or something. He didn't know what was going on. He went in there and said, honey, are you all right? And she said, yeah. She said, I just can't let her die. She didn't trip and fall and hurt herself. She had a spirit of prayer come on her. Amen. That mom, I can't let that mom with those children, die. And then that those children don't have a mother. And that husband doesn't have a wife. You know what I'm talking about. And that compassion concerning that situation rose up in her. And she travailed and groaned in the spirit. And actually, that happened for 3 nights in a row. She got up, was awakened, got up, got out of bed with this groaning in the spirit. The Bible talks about Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the spirit helps our infirmities. Did you remember that? Amen. With groanings which cannot be uttered. You know what those groanings are? Other translations say longings, yearnings that can't be put into words. It's a desire for something that for the will of God to happen in a situation that it's going in the wrong direction. God's will is not coming to pass here. Those longings and groanings are given by the Spirit because the Father longs and yearns for things to be different than the way they're going. And the Bible says in Romans 8, 26, 27, that the Spirit helps our infirmities with groanings, which cannot be uttered, because he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. He makes intercession for us. Now notice, according to the will of God. God has a will in this situation. And it's going the wrong direction. You know, not everything that happens down here is God's will. That sovereignty teaching that tells everything that happens is God's will is a bunch of baloney. It's a bunch of baloney. God's will is not happening down here in every situation. There's things he longs to not happen. But they're going to happen under the circumstances unless somebody asks him. Now somebody said, what about the prayer of faith? These pastors, this is one thing I want to get a hold of this morning. These pastors at that time did not understand anything about the prayer of faith. They learned later. But see, how many of you know, really, the prayer of faith is mostly for you and I individually. Mostly your faith is for you. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. I can't use my faith for you in some situations. Especially, young ones maybe for a little while, but you start hearing the word. God's just like a parent in the natural. People start, their children start growing in the natural, and they start expecting them to do some things for themselves. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I'm sure mom and dad expect Ryan to do for some things for himself. Yeah. And since he's normal, he's glad to do some things for himself. I don't want you brushing my teeth anymore. I don't want you doing, you know what I'm talking about? That's right. Tell your neighbor, I'm normal too. Amen. Well, you just basically put responsibility on yourself spiritually that as you grow, you use your own faith for what you need. But that's only part of what's in the Bible. What about other people? Well, you can't always use your faith for them. But sometimes the Spirit of God will come on you and give you unction in the Holy Ghost. And you'll pray under yearnings and groanings and longings of the Spirit because of a deep heart God cry that came into your spirit for a deep desire for something to happen and go a different direction than the way it happened. That can come on you because you see somebody else's infirmity, because you see they're getting ready to die. It can come on you because they lack knowledge and the devil's taking advantage of them to beat them up. Paul said it happened to him concerning the Galatian church. I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Sometimes we travail in birth again over young ones that come into this congregation. Because, Lord, open the eyes of their understanding. And it's a heart cry. It's a desire. Because it's no fun watching people get beat up because of a lack of understanding. We teach them, and that's one way that they come out of that. But also prevailing prayer, travail in prayer, is something that we've got, as Spirit of Faith Family Church, we've got to start yielding to some of this. Soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children, the Bible said. Well, this lady, this pastor's wife, that happened three nights in a row where she'd got, the Spirit of God would stir her up just thinking about this young lady, you know, and her children not having kids or parents, you know. And so, not having parents, excuse me. And so, but this would come on her, and she'd get up just long with the longings of the Spirit, and she would yield to it. And the more she yielded to it, the stronger it got. Now, that's a key right there. Somebody say, I don't have much of this. That's because the little promptings, you don't respond to them. As soon as you respond, the Spirit of God will come on you stronger. And that's why things don't actually sometimes come to full birth. You understand what I'm talking about? Tell your neighbor right there was a key for you. I have trained myself. Something starts moving on me. I just right there where I am. Father, I lift them up. Manstakiti. What is that? Manstakiti. Ilokona. And I just yield to that. And you know, if you yield quickly, sometimes it doesn't take very long. Your mind says, well, I don't have time right now to pray. If you just quickly yield, it won't take that long. You could be done in 5 minutes. I'm not saying you will be, but you could be done in 5 minutes. Then you're on your way. Well, this pastor's wife actually prayed three nights like that. And after the third night, over into the fourth day, the next morning after the third night, the lady in the hospital was laying there in a coma. All of a sudden, she just woke up completely normal. Not a trace of, you know, restriction in her brain function or anything. Completely normal. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's more to healing, more to people getting through the tests and trials they're in, more to people overcoming their infirmities and growing up spiritually than just faith. Spirit of Faith Family Church has got to become a word and spirit church, and includes in prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I say got to become, we are. We are, but we've got to yield more to this. Tell your neighbor, we're going to yield more to this. Hallelujah. So this is a doorway into the Spirit. You see that? This lady was taken by the Spirit because she responded to that compassion by the Spirit over into the realm of the Spirit, where she was able to hook up with, or the Holy Ghost would hook up with her, and she was able to pray out something and change something that otherwise would not have been changed. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He anointed her to bring a supply of the Spirit to that situation, and that anointing broke the yoke. In that case, this lady, this mother, didn't know anything about faith. The pastors themselves, at that point, did not know much about faith and believing God. And to be honest with you, I don't know if, I'll get to that in a few minutes. Amen. How many of you know if faith was all there is, let's put it this way, the prayer of faith was all there is to prayer in our prayer life, then why would God give us supplication, intercession, and these longings and groanings in the Spirit? In other words, this is what I'm going to say. Sometimes the prayer of faith is not going to work. Now you say faith always worked. Yeah, in your life. But you can't make the prayer of faith work for somebody else. I didn't say faith doesn't always work. I'm saying for other people. And guess what? If you're just trying to faith your way through it, if you know what I mean by that, and these things are coming up out of your spirit to yield to these longings and yearnings and these groanings in the Spirit, your faith alone without yielding to that is not going to work. You have to get a hold of that. I said you have to get a hold of that. Because the Spirit of God knows something that needs to be changed that you don't know about. And He'll have you pray about things that you don't know to pray about. I'm telling you the truth. And so without yielding to that we call it a burden to pray. It's that unction of the Spirit that comes on you to pray. Without yielding to that, then just trying to faith your way through it won't work. That's where we've missed it in some cases. I'm primarily talking about praying for other people. Your faith always works for you. But how many of you know, even in your situation, sometimes you're believing God, but the Lord's saying, I got some things I want to reveal to you to help you to know what to do in this situation. And those things will come up and you'll pray things out. And then it's not just faith, it's faith and responding to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We try to just put these things in boxes and say, over here's where, hey, this is how I do this, this is how I do this. No, this is how you do what, everything you do is you do it led by the Holy Ghost is how you do everything you do. Led by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So God anointed that lady to bring the power of God on the scene. How many of you know you and I cannot anoint ourselves to do the miraculous? Amen. We can only do them through the anointing, not apart from Him. He's going to have to help us. He's going to have to take hold together with us and equip us to do some of these things. Amen. Can you say amen? Can't do it in our own power. But the doorway into this is responding whenever that compassion comes up out of your spirit. Somebody said, how do I respond? Whatever's coming up, just express it. Well, it's tongues. Okay, express it in tongues. It's in English. I have the unction to pray out things by the spirit of prophecy in English or my known tongue. Well, then yield to that if it's English. Sometimes it's neither tongues or English. Sometimes it's just groanings. Somebody said, what good is that? Well, the Bible said, we just quoted Romans 8, 26, 27, with groanings which cannot be uttered. But it goes on to say, he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. In other words, when the Spirit anoints you to make those expressions and groanings, God in heaven knows what the Spirit is expressing. He knows what you are praying about. He knows. You don't know, but He knows. That pastor's wife that prayed for that lady that was raised up in the hospital, she didn't know all those things. She didn't know, but God did. Hallelujah. So it's a doorway into the supernatural. Amen. You cannot do the miraculous, but you can stay yielded to the Spirit so that you're a vessel ready to be used by Him. Amen. Amen. You can spend time in the Spirit to where you're available to God if He wants to use you in these ways. You know, some people just aren't available to Him. But you can stay ready to move with Him. I mean, as you spend time in prayer. But see, we got to take heed to our overall spiritual condition. Here's some things to stay ready in this. Take heed to your overall spiritual condition. In other words, keep your fellowship with God real good. Keep a tender heart. Because hardness of heart, Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 32, be tender hearted in love, forgiving one another. You know, the harder you are in heart, the less sensitive to that compassion that tries to well up within you for people. Don't be a judgmental Christian. I recently found out about some things about a particular minister, and I thought to myself, well, I don't, you know, they something had happened, and I thought to myself, you know, well, I do know what they went through. I know a little bit of the story, what they went through, and the fact that they got tripped up in this area of their life just for a brief time, right during that time, I can't judge that because I probably have never been through what that man has been through. The stuff that came against that man, all the junk, you know, and the pressure on him in the spirit realm, the anxiety. You understand? The things that came against him, I probably have never been anywhere 10% close to that. So for me to judge him in falling briefly, you know, in that area, and then getting back up, you know, serving God and walking straight. I can't judge that because who knows, I might not have done worse in that situation. So things like that, keeping your mind from being condemning and you know, critical, will keep you from being hard-hearted. And it'll keep you in a place where compassion is something that when it comes up, you'll yield to it rather than, well, bless God, I don't know why they did that. So that's something you can do, is take heed to your overall spiritual condition. Stay tender-hearted. Amen. Meditate on the compassion of God. And y'all understand what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this compassion is a launching pad into the realm of the Spirit. Now, can you see what we're talking about? Hallelujah. God carries out His will on the earth through you and I. And there's situations He's saying, I long to do some things. I need somebody to pray. We're the body of Christ. Jesus left and went to the right hand of the Father, and He does what He does through us today. Can you say amen? We have to cooperate with Him in Jesus doing the works. Remember, He said, the works that I do shall you do also. Now He does them through us. What He did when He walked the earth, He does them through us. And one of the works that He does through us is prayer. One of the things Jesus did when He was down here is He kept His disciples. Remember, we looked at Peter. Satan has desired to have thee as wheat, to sift thee as wheat, but I've prayed for thee. Yeah. Jesus kept him in the power of God, made a supply of the Spirit to him, so that he could make he had the spiritual wherewithal, you might say, to get through that temptation and come out the other side, faith intact. Because Satan was trying to strip him of his faith through the test and the trial. And so now it's our responsibility to make a supply of the Spirit available to people that we see going through things, because we long and yearn for them to make it. Wow. Jesus was moved with compassion in Matthew 9 and said, pray. He solicited His disciples to enter into what He was touched with. And He's still at the right hand of the Father doing the same thing today. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. In other words, He's saying, come and enter into what I'm touched with. Move with the Holy Ghost and prayer and bring a supply to these situations that I long and yearn that they change. Praise the Lord. He's the same today. He's still soliciting us to come into prayer and take these situations to the throne of grace. And the Holy Ghost will take hold together with us, and that which is on that person's heart will come on our heart. And it'll come out with yearnings and desire and expressions of longing sometimes that manifest like groanings. The Spirit is our helper in this. And one way He helps us is by expressing these things to the Father that the people are going through. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, infirmities can mean scruples of conscience. That's one of the definitions of infirmity. In other words, something that's wrong in their belief. Because you see over in the book of Romans, do you still have some minutes here this morning? I'm already running out of time. My goodness. This series is getting longer and longer and longer. Amen. In the book of Romans, the Bible talks about I'm trying to find it here. I don't have the reference here, but there are in Romans it talks about people. It says in Romans, one of these chapters, that we're to bear the infirmities of the weak. I think it's the 15th chapter. Bear the infirmities of the weak. In the context is people who are stumble over meat offered to idols, and God says in the chapter there, this meat doesn't offered to idols doesn't mean anything. That's not God. Amen. But some people stumble over things like that. And it's a lack of development of their beliefs. You know. And He said, but you and I ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Infirmity there means something where their belief is not developed right yet. And so therefore they're getting tripped up over something that's nothing. Can you see that? And see, these are things that we pray over this congregation all the time, especially young ones. Getting tripped up over things that the devil takes advantage of their lack of development of their faith. And we can bring a supply of the Spirit to them. Can you see what I'm talking about? Something's wrong with church members who have no compassion on people going through things. We ought to be touched with people that are going through things. Well, hallelujah. I'm still preaching the same thing. I'm not going to change. Hallelujah. And so we see here that that's one of the means of infirmity. Another means of, of infirmity. Another definition of infirmity is want of strength, weakness, inability to produce results or do things grand and glorious. Well, I've got some of those. Some of you looked at me like, well, I don't know if I do. Let me tell you about you. You got some of those too. Inability to do things grand and glorious. Weaknesses. Well, that's one of the definitions of the word infirmity. Another infirmity mentioned in Romans 8:26 is, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. One infirmity is we just don't know. That's how the devil operates. The Bible said, God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because of a lack of knowledge, people get tripped up, and therefore Satan takes advantage of them. Well, we ought not be okay with that. We ought to hook up with the Holy Ghost, like he said there in Romans 8, and pray for these people. And I'm not talking about a little God bless them prayer. I'm talking about the longings of the Spirit for them. And listen, when the more you get over into the Spirit, you might say, well, how do I pray for them? Well, that just means you're not in the Spirit yet. When you get over into the Spirit, you'll find words coming up out of your belly that you never thought to pray. But the Spirit had in mind that needed to be prayed for them. That's why we need to get into the Spirit about these things and not just pray out of our understanding. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We might know to a degree, but we don't know as we ought to know. But the Holy Ghost does. Ooh, thank God for our helper. He knows how to get something done in somebody's life that we don't know how to even begin to help them. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. The enemy takes advantage of people in their areas of ignorance. Isn't that right? Amen. But so we might not be able to pray accurately without getting over into other tongues. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. He's our helper. Say helper. Helper. Hallelujah. Helper, helper, helper. Another infirmity is dullness of perception. I remember a family here in the city that I've worked with for years regarding getting in a local church, even if it's not ours. Now, they believe very closely to us. And the Lord has actually spoken to me about I'm their pastor. But see, I don't want to get into all the reasons why, but they just don't. They don't have really a local church. And I worked with them and talked to them and encouraged them and sometimes just kind of lost unction because they just weren't responding to it. But I was praying for them one day and the Spirit of God said to me, now they have made their choice. And he said, the hardship is going to be the way their children turn out. Well, see, God doesn't want that. Amen. Well, that's a infirmity. What is their infirmity? Dullness of perception of what their real need is. Amen. Jesus in Luke 24:25 said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Some people are like that. They're just spiritual duds. They wouldn't know the Holy Ghost if he came walking down the street with a red hat on and said, hi, I'm the Holy Spirit. I came from heaven. Yeah. They go, who? Yeah. Come on. Amen. I cringe sometimes at things I watch people do. I just know in my spirit. Somebody said, do you always tell them? Nope. But I always go to prayer for them. Sometimes I don't get unction to tell them. See, sometimes people won't listen. You know, because they're all that in a bag of chips, and they've been to every county fair and hayride, and they know better than pastor or... Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Everybody still loves pastor, right? Now, another word for the word infirmity, another definition of the word infirmity is feebleness of body, frailty, or sickness. Remember, the woman bowed over with the spirit of infirmity. But Romans 8:26, when it says the Spirit helps our infirmities, he's not just talking about praying about people's healing, but that God will move on us to pray things out concerning people. Your dad. We've had this happen. We're already, it's time to close already. But we could tell story after story after story about this. But we prayed out, your dad was dying, actually did die on the table there in the hospital. And we got around him and prayed and made a supply of the Spirit. And while we were praying, I sensed death. I sensed death. He's in a coma. But right then he had left and he came back and told the story. Remember, he had been to heaven, saw Jesus and all that. Hallelujah. Well, but we made a supply of the Spirit and were able to minister under that anointing, and he came back. How long did he live after that? 7 years. Praise the Lord. He had gotten sepsis of the blood. The doctor told me in the hospital, I walked out after a while there. I walked out and the doctor came by and I was talking to him. He said, we don't see people come out of this kind of thing. My dad, my own father, had sepsis of the blood. He had had an operation. And then they said, we don't see people come out of this except we prayed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this can be part of it. Of God gives us these longings for people that are in a sickened condition, then maybe they're going to die. You realize we have a covenant with God. Can I just finish this up a little bit? We have a covenant with God concerning divine healing. But if you read it very closely, it's conditional. Old and New Testament. Bible said the new commandment in the New Testament is walking in love. And it also says in the Old Testament, if you'll keep my statutes and do keep my commandments, I'll permit none of these diseases upon you, which I permitted upon the Egyptians. But the condition is keeping the commandments. What's the New Testament commandment? Walking in love. So sometimes people, whether it's ignorantly or with knowledge of what they're doing, sometimes they are out of position to receive. God is not less compassionate. God's still the same. Healing is still theirs, but they're not in position because there are conditions to these things. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Sin will sometimes hinder the blessings of God. I don't know if you've ever read the Bible or not, but that's all through the Bible. David's own child died because he was conceived in sin. Amen. Well, that's awfully quiet. It's not God's perfect will, but there are things that happen sometimes to individuals because either something is blocking their blessings or they just don't know what their rights and privileges are. Like that lady I just told you about, the pastor's wife. That lady in the hospital room and that husband that's losing his wife in the hospital room, they didn't know about their covenant. They didn't know healing belonged to everybody. If they had, maybe the prayer of faith would have worked. But God obviously knew something else was needed because he moved on this pastor's wife. I don't have time to get into all that. But sometimes things happen in individuals' lives today that are not God's perfect will for one reason or another. Either something has blocked it. There's something hindering the fullness of God. Remember, the Bible talks about the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know, if we want the perfect will of God, we got to do the perfect will of God. Or maybe they just don't know what their rights and privileges are. But for one reason or another, something is getting ready to happen that is not God's will. That's not what belongs to them. Amen? Not everybody is walking in new covenant rights. Sometimes, if they're a baby Christian, you can use your faith. You can pray the prayer of faith or the prayer of agreement. But there are still those who don't know and who do not understand and for whom this kind of prayer that I'm talking about must be made. Or they're going to die, or it's not going to turn out right, or something's going to happen that was not God's will. Now, don't misunderstand me. Sometimes the Holy Ghost won't hook up with you. How many of you know we can't do this apart from the Holy Spirit? But if you'll pay attention to the Holy Ghost, many times he's looking through the church, looking through the body of Christ, looking for somebody that will intervene, then pray and intervene, stand in the gap. Because he doesn't want some things to happen. Are y'all out there? There are people that don't understand how to take advantage of their rights and privileges. And so therefore, this kind of prayer must be made or God's will not be done. I said, or God's will not be done. Amen. And it might be our responsibility that it didn't happen. If God moved on us to pray and we didn't pray. Amen. Hallelujah. We've got to learn to depend not just on the Word in prayer, but depend on the Holy Ghost in prayer. Tell your neighbor, we're going to have to learn some things of the Spirit. Amen. Sometimes the Spirit of God will hook up with you, and sometimes He won't. There are times I've tried to pray things out for people, but I can't. The Holy Ghost won't hook up with me. Are you still there? I'm trying to close. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is our helper in these things. We can't do it apart from Him. He can't do it apart from us. We're laborers together with God. We do it in the Spirit, not in our flesh. Amen. Now, the Holy Spirit, we're spirit beings, and we've got to learn to move beyond just mental praying and pray by the Spirit. The Bible said, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with my understanding also. We've got to pray with our understanding, but mental prayer sometimes is very limited. In order to get some things for some people in some situations, we're going to have to move out of mental praying and pray beyond our understanding, and that's exactly why Romans 8:26 says we're given the Holy Ghost, is because we know not what to pray for as we ought. We might know limitedly, but we don't know as we ought. We're not God. We don't know everything. Amen. There's situations mental praying is not going to get the job done. Spiritual praying is praying out of our spirit by spirit-governed utterances. And oftentimes it's in an unknown tongue. Amen. Hallelujah. You got another minute. I'm trying to get to a certain point here this morning. And sometimes it won't come out in English and it won't even come out in tongues. It'll come out in groanings. Because the Spirit is longing to move, and that's how He gives you the expressions to the Father that desire is expressed in groanings. Amen. All creation travails and groans in pain, the Bible said, and the ultimate consciousness of what creation goes through, of the pain it goes through, is in God. And He said the Spirit helps us to make supplication or intercession in those situations with these inarticulate expressions to the Father. Hallelujah. 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 We need to learn to understand this. Now, I'm almost done. Tell your neighbor he's almost done here. Always recognize that whenever these things move on you, trying to just stay praying in English or even just in tongues if it's groanings trying to come up out of you, trying to stay in another area other than expressing what the Spirit's really bringing up out of your belly will not cut it. Will not cut it. You'll leave and you'll know in your spirit, I'm not satisfied. I didn't feel it. I didn't fully pray this out. Amen. And you got to stick with it. Now, I want to tell you a story and then we're going to close this down. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 3, finally, brethren, pray for us. Say that out loud, pray for us. That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as with you, and that we may be delivered. Say, be delivered. Be delivered. From unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Notice that. Pray for us that we may be delivered. Paul said in Philippians chapter number 1 and in verse number 19, he's in jail. He said, I know that this shall turn. I'm almost done. I know we're going longer here, but don't unhook with me. Amen. We got started late, so I'm going to give you a full good hour, you know. He said in Philippians 1:19, he's in jail. He said, I know that this will turn, talking about his sentence in jail. This will turn, he said this, to my salvation. through your prayers. The word prayer there is the Greek word supplication. This is not the prayer of faith. It's one of these yearnings and longings in the Spirit kind of prayers. Supplication and intercession are done by the anointing of the Spirit. Amen. It's not mental praying. This will turn to my salvation. That means deliverance from jail. He's already saved. You know, the word salvation is translated deliverance. It's translated heal. It's translated make whole, make sound, you know. He's not talking about his salvation. He's already saved. But he's talking about getting out of jail. This will turn to my, you could interpret that. This will turn to my deliverance from jail. How's it going to happen? Through your supplication in the Spirit. Through your yielding to the Holy Ghost. They said, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So this is the kind of prayer that makes a supply available to a situation that changes something that otherwise is going the wrong direction. And he mentioned back there in 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 3, sometimes it includes deliverance from wicked people. He mentioned it there. People that oppose the gospel. How many of you know you need to make a supply to this church to deliver us from people that rise up to spread gossip and to put things on Facebook and to lie? Amen. You ever notice that doesn't get very far around here? I believe some of you are praying, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of it been on me. I'd like some of it to get on you. Get over in the Holy Ghost. Jesus said to Brother Hagin, he's praying with a pastor whose ex-wife had divorced him. I'm just going to let the Holy Ghost flow. I'm not. Forget the clock. I'm getting too much unction. If you need to go, then go, and we'll say, see you next service. He was praying with this man. His ex-wife was getting ready. Brother Hagin didn't know anything I'm getting ready to tell you. But his ex-wife was getting ready to come back in town and cause trouble for him. You know, spread gossip and so forth and so on. Brother Hagin, he said his little daughter, that he's talking to this pastor, his little daughter said, Daddy, pray with me so I can go to bed. His little daughter, they all knelt down, and all of a sudden Brother Hagin's in the Spirit, and he had that vision. I'm going to talk to you about devils and demons and evil spirits. Remember that? And then he saw all this. He didn't know at the time what all this man's former spouse had been threatening to do, but he saw this woman in a vision and the devil using her and to do certain things. And Brother Hagin said the Lord told him to deal with that spirit. Because Jesus said to Brother Hagin, anytime anyone inside the church or outside of the church is raised up to either hinder, impede, harass, embarrass, or in any other way, block the work of God, you know it's not just a person, it's the demon behind them. Deal with it in the Spirit. And that's how we deal with these things, and you get over into the Spirit and you see what it is. Just like this young boy, I was laying hands on him and I saw some things. Ha, ha, ha. Caught because we pray in the Holy Ghost. Things are going to be different. Ha, ha, ha. Well, that's the kind of prayer that's needed over these situations and many other situations. Well, are you still out there? Let me give you this story. I told you I was going to tell a story. That wasn't the story. We were over in La Salle, Peru. I was thinking about this yesterday. We were coming back from, I went to Pastor Nancy's meeting Friday night, and the people that were driving me, we went through La Salle, Peru, and they said, La Salle, Peru, didn't you preach here? I said, yeah, right here. We just passed the church building right there. Hallelujah. Well, is that the story where the angel came and gave you words of knowledge? No, you should have paid better attention than that. I'm kidding. I don't keep Brother Hagin's stories straight either. I don't know where they were. I'm just messing with the person that was driving. I said, no, that's where the man was raised from the dead. And so I was thinking of that story. Well, I was thinking about that in connection with how that happened. How many of you want to hear it again? Because it applies to what we're teaching. We were having the meeting there. The pastor had us in. He said, I want you to, because it was November. He said, come in. I want you to come in every November. He then resigned, and another pastor came. We started preaching for him too, actually. But he said, I want you to come in every November and inoculate my people with the word against the flu. Just preach about divine healing. I said, we can do that. I know how to do that. So we were doing that, and we had a series there that weekend, and Sunday afternoon, I got a burden to pray. You know what a burden to pray is? If you don't, start dipping more. And I got a burden to pray, and I prayed, I don't know, an hour, and I don't know, you know, time passes and you forget how long. I think it was an hour and a half, something like that. And it was one of those yearnings and longings and expressions in the spirit, weepings and kind of thing. And I knew I was praying something out, but I didn't have any idea what it was. Well, we got to service that night, and at the end of that prayer time, by the way, I had a flash in the spirit, and I saw my whole sermon. I saw every point, and at the end, I saw myself call people to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then the vision disappeared. Well, I just went to service and acted that out. Prayed that, I mean, made all those points. Got to the end, called for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and there were six people came forward, and I was laying hands on them, and I had prayed myself hot. You know what I mean by that? I'm prayed up. I mean, I'm laying hands on them. I barely get my hand on them. They speak in tongues like a freight train going through a tunnel. Didn't know till later they're all Nazarene people. Nazarene peoples and other denominations. I'm not picking on the Nazarene. And other denominations, including mine. We started praying in tongues like, Yabba, Abba, Abba, you know, and then that's about, then we got, but it, I mean, just woo, took off. And so, then the seventh person came up. Remember? And that man, I didn't know it at the time, but I laid hands on him to be filled with the Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, fell out under the power. We went on, some deliverances took place and so forth and so on. And but here's the thing. After the service, the pastor said, you get that seventh man's testimony? I said, no. He said, jump in my vehicle. So he told me the story. He said, that's my building contractor. He's building my new building. He came to the church tonight. His whole bride, that's his whole family. And they came to see what this church was all about, that they were building the church building for. And I said, well, they found out. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And they all got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, but that seventh man, he said, he just told me his testimony. He was standing there in the church and his heart stopped beating. He's had a heart condition, I think, for 17 years. And he said he's been dead twice. And he knows what it's like to be dead or dying. He said the circulation stops in your fingers and your toes, so forth and so on. You've heard this story, but you need to hear it in the context of what we're teaching. He said, I'm standing there in church. My family's up there getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I thought, that's fine for them, but not me. He's a born-again man. He knew God, but he wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, but that's fine for them. And he's standing there, and while he's standing there watching them get filled with the Holy Ghost, he said his heart stopped, and he's standing there dying, thinking, my God, I'm standing right here in church dying. He'd been to the doctor. He's had a heart condition for a long time. And so he said, when he's standing there, he said, it was like heaven opened up. The glory of God came like a, you ever seen the sun through clouds shine, a beam of light? He said, that came out of the ceiling. We're in church. It's nighttime. He said, but that glory came down. He said, he's born again. He knows the presence of God. He said, I knew it's the presence of God. He said, I'm standing in this. You ever seen the Star Wars, beam me up, Scotty, you know? He said, that's what it looked like. He said, I'm standing in the glory of God. He said, I knew it was the presence of God. And he said, and I'm sustained there just for a few, I don't know how long it was. Probably seemed like an eternity, but probably wasn't that long. But he said, I'm standing there. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, the Lord spoke to me. He said, you can stand here and die. Or, he said, you can go up there and have them lay hands on you to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'll heal you too. That just sounds like my Jesus. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Which one do you want? He said, well, if that's the conditions, I mean, he came down to get filled with the Holy Ghost. But I didn't know he's a walking dead man. You know, sometimes it's good you don't know more. Man of faith and power turns into man of paste and flour. You know what I'm talking about? But I laid hands on him. He went out under the power of God, speaking in other tongues. I walked away just thinking that's it, you know. Well, that was it, but that wasn't all that was it. He got a new heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Brand new heart. Brand new heart. Actually, somebody said, why do you say that? Because he went back to his doctor. And the same doctor that had been on his case, he said, look at my heart again. I don't need to. I've seen it many times. He said, no, I'm paying for it. You look at it. He said, they took pictures, said, can we take another one? Turned him again. Took another picture. Can we take another? And they turned him. They said, the doctor said, that's a new heart. New heart. That's not the same heart. He said, what happened? And he told him the story. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Now, don't hear the testimony and miss how it happened. Y'all still out there? It was praying for an hour and a half under the anointing of the Spirit. Why? 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 That man wasn't in faith. He didn't know about his covenant rights of divine healing. Somebody said, Pastor, you were in faith. How are you in faith for something you don't even know is happening? I couldn't be in faith. Faith is based on knowing something. You got to know something. I wasn't using my faith for his healing. The pastor didn't know he had a heart condition. And we didn't know he was going to stand there and die in church. So there's nobody believing God. Yet God saw something that was getting ready to happen. I'm getting that release now. I'm going to close with this. God saw something that was getting ready to happen, and he had us travail in the spirit and pray that out. Why? Because he had compassion on a man who was going to die. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's why I say some things that should be happening will never happen sometimes if we don't yield to the Holy Ghost in these ways. Let's go ahead and get it done. What do you say? Amen. Somebody said, but I don't know what I'm praying about. You can be just as effective not even knowing what you're praying about as if you fully are aware of what you're praying about. Let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. We've gone a little long today, but we had to get to that place. Praise God. How are you going to enter into this? It's through much fellowship with your compassionate Savior. You're going to have to let his compassion you're going to have to respond to the compassion that he has for these situations and let that come into you. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, I don't want to act weird. Well, then get alone. Yeah. Then get alone. Yeah. If it's going to come out in travail and groanings and people around you don't understand, get alone. Find a place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe it's the key to the supernatural. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Whew, glory. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands and thank God.